Ocean FM.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Ocean FM, the IBA, and funded by Commission Le Mans with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
A very warm and hearty welcome to all of you for this October edition of Ours to Protect. As the autumn has blown in, we've also reached the final episode in this series. And to mark this point, we're getting a bit of inspiration this week from all of you out there by visiting some of our communities who are building sustainability and climate action into their work. Today's programme has been inspired by a community celebration day hosted by the ATU's Power to Change programme. And over the next half hour, we're going to take in all kinds of work, ranging across future-focused rainwater harvesting and biodiversity in Carraroe, suggestions for greener buildings from architecture students in ATU Sligo, polytunnel tea parties and apple orchards at the Sligo Children's Community Garden, and supporting our health by connecting with nature through the Having a Laugh charity. In addition to the Community Celebration Day, October also saw lots of our local groups all over the Northwest contributing to so many different events that were unfolding for Climate Action Week. What an unbelievable scope of talks, activities and workshops that brought. They took in repair cafes, seed swaps and container planting, blue economy, cycling, local cleanups, business sessions, clothes swaps, community gardens, walking to school, environment-themed films and household energy saving. It really does go to show how many different ways there are for us all to tune in to sustainability on our own doorsteps. And coming back to the Clayton Hotel in Sligo, that's what the community day there was all about. Sharing ideas, experience and best practice, and groups really learning from each other and spurring each other on. All as a result of the work done through the ATU's Power to Change project, which was all about empowering communities to take a lead on climate action. Education had been one of the areas of focus, and as a result, the halls of the hotel were filled with functional, beautiful, local and imaginative educational resources. Reimagining Sligo is a climate action board game, highlighting specific local scenarios in the Northwest, designed by ATU student Keelan Hart and developed with secondary schools here. SDGs and Me is a nature-based workbook exploring the SDGs, shaped together with local primary school children. There was a deck of exercise cards that built into a seasonal biodiversity hunt, produced with North Sligo Athletic Club, and a series of beautiful wooden tablets created from our native tree species, which highlight their contribution to ecology, climate change, and economy. All of those fabulous educational resources are a testament to how children across the Northwest had engaged with ideas around sustainability through climate education clubs. And as part of this community day, architecture students from ATU Sligo were also making an impact. Let's meet a few of them.
My name is Maeve. I'm in the Bachelor of Architecture in Sligo going into year four. I was in group five. I looked at the affordability housing.
Hi, my name's Aidan. I'm going into fifth year of the Bachelor of Architecture programme in Sligo, and I was part of a group project looking at low-rise medium-density housing.
Hi, my name is Sunshine. I was going into the fourth year of architecture, and I was also with Aidan with the low-rise medium-density housing.
The students have been challenged to see if they could engage communities in ideas around sustainable design, and they developed a series of very impressive presentation boards on how to plan and build in a way that would foster community and connection and encourage sustainable patterns of building and living.
Architecture ATU is a relatively young course. Yeah, we've had two years of just graduated, and we're recently accredited with the RAI. It's a wonderful course to have because it's very much steeped in the Northwest. Most architecture schools are in a kind of more urban environment and talking about cities, whereas ours is very much based on the Atlantic coast. The idea of Yeats, heritage, culture is really big in what we do. It's big in our projects, and it's big in our research modules as well.
We look at local projects that mean something to the town. Like with modern architecture as a style, it kind of takes away the sense of place. Like the sense of place is a huge topic in the course. It's one of the big things. We look at studying the history, the context of the place, and how do we not ruin that when we're designing. Like socially, housing is a huge issue. We will always do at least one housing project every year. And then as well, we'll do like a public building. So we looked at a regeneration for Anderson's locally, if anybody knows that. It was originally an old brewery, and just bring that centre back to the town. And we look at local projects that mean something to the town. I know Anderson's is a huge building for Sligo. We looked at keeping as much of the original fabric as we could, and it has the stone that's very typical of Sligo. So small details like that really kind of contribute to the overall design.
Maeve, Sunshine and Aidan explained some of the principles behind the designs that they were presenting.
So this has been a two-week collaborative process with all of the years of the programme, including the first years who've just joined us in September. So the first week was about brainstorming, about getting new ideas, about doing some research, and the second week has been about the later years coming together, really trying to summarise that and land on some findings and present it to bring to the community now today.
Yeah, so as you said, after this first week, the fourth and fifth years kind of came together, try to condense all our findings together and then make into one big poster. Our poster is really about celebrating low-rise median density, what makes a good, a viable option, and how we can use it together in the Irish climate.
Low-rise means that it's below four stories, so these are recognisable as houses rather than as apartments, which makes them kind of suitable in an Irish context. Medium density means that we're fitting between 35 and 80 units, which is in a hectare, which is a bit abstract, but it means fitting about 50 houses in three quarters of Croke Park, if you can imagine that. So if we can fit more people into smaller spaces, we're using up less land. We're able to put it into vacant sites in towns, I'm sure people are familiar with them, that otherwise wouldn't be able to support housing. Bringing more people in closer together, but not sacrificing their quality of life or force them to feel like they're in apartments. They still have their own front door. They still have something that feels like a home, but that's done in a more measured and sensitive and hopefully then sustainable way.
And we use different precedents, so basically different examples worldwide, and award-winning examples and how they used it and how we could also adapt it and use it in our own climate.
Were there particular sites in Sligo that you looked at in relation to this project that people might know?
Well, Perm Mill Road by the docks, what they're striving to do is also test the barrier of like the limit between the 85 house per hectare, and as we were talking about beforehand, having a really engaged community as well as all the different heights and typologies, because what medium density housing allows you to do is have different typology of houses. So you have like different, you can have townhouses, maisonettes and apartments that can really solve like an affordability issue, because a lot of estates and stuff, it's just one type of housing that if you can't afford, you can't live there. But this allows all sorts of people to live in the same area, more socially integrated, different types of people as well.
The other thing with low-rise medium density is that it's generally infill sites, so you're working within urban urban context, you're using existing infrastructure, transport links, so it's enabling people to live more sustainably, as well as, like Sunshine says, working with sort of domestic scale, using more natural materials, fitting people in closer together while not sacrificing green space means these are just naturally a more sustainable way to live.
Yeah. A big part of our project was looking at green spaces and different examples of it. So we're looking at New Zealand and England, kind of with low-rise median density. You're able to really still have a community, because with a high-rise, it's kind of just stuffing everyone into one area and one little slot. But with medium density, you're allowed to explore a community more with all the green spaces and kind of wrap it around the building. It just has a better quality of life. That's something that we're really trying to put forward.
And the desire for improving our quality of life in a sustainable way really shone through in the amazing work done by all the community groups too. They were an eclectic and enthusiastic mix, including Sligo Cycling Campaign, Having a Laugh, CADRA, Sligo Drama Circle, Maeve's Dragon Warriors, Sligo Children's Community Garden, and North Sligo Athletic Club. In the spirit of collaboration that marked the activities, I heard about a project from the Carraroe and District Regeneration Association, probably known to you or I as CADRA. And if you've circled the N4 roundabout at the bottom of Carraroe, at any stage over this summer, you must have noticed the gorgeous flowers planted there by the group. And in fact, it's that very spot that was the subject of a task for ATU students. Pat Benson is a long-standing stalwart of CADRA, and he filled me in.
We involved the students here in part of the Power of Change, because what we wanted to do, we wanted to present a challenge, if you like, to the ATU system to get all the various departments in the college working together. The challenge was, where if you know Carr Road, the roundabout there doesn't have any water supply, so we have a lot of flower pots growing there, all that type of thing, planters. So we challenged them to design a rainwater harvesting system for us and use the skills of architecture, design, environment, the whole lot, you know. And they did come up with three different versions of projects, very successful. We gave a first and second prize to the students.
And what were the schemes that they came up with?
One was to provide a well down on what is the central point there in Carrow, which there's no water supply. But we can't do it at the moment because the council have a plan to redevelop that whole area. There's been developed, so we have to wait until we see what they leave us with. So until that's done, we really don't want to proceed. The one that I think is very interesting was because Carrow School itself, now they have a lot of biodiversity in the school and they have a garden and all that, but we wanted to try and see could they come out into the park that's beside the school. And obviously rain is an issue in this country, and teachers mightn't want to bring their students out into the rain. So basically we asked the students to look at that, and they came up with an idea of a roofed rainwater harvesting system. It's like a, creating a, like a classroom or a sitting room or whatever you want to call it. You know, water would go down into tanks, and the tanks basically would be the seating. And the idea would be that it could be developed there so that the teacher could bring the students out into the air and all that. And if it's raining, at least they won't get wet, you know. They could actually learn about rainwater harvesting and the environment. And I'll let Jackie talk about that project.
It could be also that kind of shelter space. Could be a public space for all as well. It's a public park. So, you know, like you find in Carrow, there isn't anywhere to linger. There's no central point in the village. So the work that we're doing at the moment is really focused on the public park. And we've also got some funding from Sligo County Council for anti-litter for the public park. So we're saying public because it is for all, you know. That's really our focus, is about making this a space that isn't just like, it's kind of fairly open. It straddles that roundabout that links down onto the N4. It's like a wind tunnel. Long term, we would love to maybe have a kind of a shelter that harvests water, that is run by solar energy, that, you know, Cater, we can go and meet out there in the summer. You know, groups can be there. People can meet for picnics. You know, whatever it is, the school can be out there as well.
As Jackie Maguire says, having somewhere for people to gather is at the heart of any community. And it's not a bad idea to rethink those options a little. Meeting spaces can come in all shapes and sizes. Meeting outdoors can certainly change the dynamic in a group and add a bit of energy. So it'll be really interesting to see how Carrow get on with their pods. For the Sligo Children's Community Garden, Sligo County Council's Climate Action Fund allowed them to upgrade the perfect gathering space for their group.
We were successful with Climate Action funding, 100% funding, and we redid and completely future-proofed our tunnel.
Very good.
Yes, our polytunnel. Yes. Yeah. We worked with Sophie Skinner, and we put in three new levels into it, a new pond, new growing area, wooden decking, new furniture, and replasticed the whole thing.
And the growing space is now a lot bigger and more accessible than it would have been beforehand. More accessible for the children and for anyone who is older that might need to be bending or leaning over into the growing spaces.
What have you grown this year?
Tomatoes and corn and pumpkins and beetroots, and which is kind of amazing because Sophie did such an incredible job over the summer of completely dismantling the space. And during all of that, still having the ability to grow was really a different summer for us than usual, I guess.
I suppose the thing about having a children's community garden is the kids like to see things in the immediate sense. Do you know, everything is sensory, so they enjoy the planting, the watering, the eating of the
snacks.
Things. So when we're growing things, we're really aiming as well to grow things that the kids can see in a short space of time. Peas, strawberries, tomatoes, things that grow quickly, you know, they can eat them as well. And also it is a kids and a communal space. So sometimes the kids will come in and dig up, you know, with their little truck, they'll dig up things that we might have been aiming to plant there. And that's okay. Do you know, they're enjoying the process of it and the fun of it. So, I mean, as we always say, we're 90% tea. Because the social and communal aspect of it is the most important, really. Do you know, we're there for carers, for parents, for people who are burnt out to come and socialise and learn and enjoy learning as well, and have a space where the kids are free to get mucky, aren't kind of constrained by, look, don't throw that there, don't throw this there, and the parents can really enjoy that energy that comes with the kids having freedom.
It was really interesting to see how so many of our groups had been successful in using nature as a stepping stone to people taking action and engaging with sustainability in a wider way. For the Having a Laugh charity, embracing nature is a cornerstone of their philosophy.
My name is Bláthaín Sweeney. I'm founder and current project administrator with the Having a Laugh charity. I'm here today as a partner with the ATU Power to Change programme. Yvonne contacted us when the Power to Change programme was kicking off and explained to us what the programme was, how they could benefit charities in their environmental efforts. So we had a number of conversations and that evolved over the years. And because our charity is primarily an administrative service, we looked at how can we digitally enhance people's experience of nature through Power to Change and the charity.
The charity's work builds on the power of nature to nourish our mental health, and they looked at how they could lower barriers that prevent people from getting into the outdoors, providing a little nudge maybe for someone that might need it.
So what evolved then was a digital map of Sligo, knowing that there are so many places in Sligo that you can go to spend time in nature, and that full map is currently available on the PPN website. In advance of that map is kind of a mood map over the location map, a list of places where you might want to go if you're feeling highly anxious, places to go to feel calm, the different effects water might have on you, and different types of water bodies, so still water versus waves or a waterfall would have a different effect. It's not for fitness. I think that was the meaning. It's not about being fit or how fit are you, but it's actually for your state of being, your emotional health or your mental health. For someone who's trying to get themselves out the door and that first step, and just to have something, some one thing that goes, maybe all you need is a walk under the trees. Maybe all you need today is to spend time in this particular park that's near you. So yeah, it's to help people make that step, but also the education piece of like, oh, that is something I can do. Or even people might go to a place every day and I don't know why I go there, and then this map, oh, that's what it is. It's elevating my endorphins. It's whatever the effects are. So I'd say there's probably easily 20 or 30 locations around Sligo. And then they're filtered, so places you can get to through public transport, places that you might need a car to get to. One that we came up, actually, certain places you might not want to go to when they're super busy if social engagement is a factor that's going to cause you to resist. So it might be places that are typically quiet. I'm not sure how the tech guys do that, but there might be a way to put in that filter as well. Yeah. You know, you can have so many project plans and so many strategies and so many policies and all of that stuff, but it takes like a real life person to be fully invested and supported to be invested in the work, because it's that piece where there's no way that my idea could ever have benefited from the technology that's already out there, the efforts that have already been made, without someone like Yvonne in that position to pull it together. It's heartwarming, and from a humanity point of view, that people are very much still needed to make those connections. It's an idea I've had over the years. I suppose it's the education piece around reminding people, educating people on why you would spend time in nature, that it would benefit them personally. And when a person realizes, oh, this is beneficial to me, this is almost essential to my physiological health, and I could go into the science of the benefits of being outdoors. It's good for my mental health, my emotional health, and when they realise it's good for them, then you're going to get people who will advocate and invest in supporting the environment. We did a study years ago, actually, through the Near Health Project in Galway, in UI Galway, and we brought people on a hike to yoga, and we got them to do a survey beforehand and a survey afterwards. Kind of a nature connection well-being survey, and the results were all very positive. But was interesting, and the feedback was, did you feel better after the hike and the walk? Yes, but doing the survey actually helped inform the benefits, because they were saying, well, we're all busy, we're doing this, we're going on this hike, and then did the survey and they realized, oh yeah, I'm doing this for my well-being. I'm doing this for my mental health. So it kind of brought to mind how often we kind of, I'm meant to go out for a walk. I'm doing it because I should do it, but forgetting the reason you're doing it is to stop for a moment and to connect with yourself and to check in with how you're doing. It doesn't mean you have to be doing well, but to check in with how you actually are doing. And that nature gives you that space to do that.
And that nature connection digital map is available at sligoppn.com, and it's under the community group training page of the Power to Change section. Now, I decided to try out Dorley Park, as mentioned by Bláthain, because it really is such an accessible spot and it's used by lots of people for getting their outdoor fix. Their woodland ecologist, Saoirse O'Donoghue, gave me a few tips on tuning into whatever nature just happens to be around us when we're outdoors, so that we can take in all of the goodness on offer.
It's a great place to come and find that nature connection, which I think as a human, we all inherently need for a sense of well-being, where they take in the forest atmosphere, soak it up, all the sounds, all the feelings. And today we're here in the rain and we've got the feeling of the rain, you know, on our jackets, and you've got the smells of the moldy leaves. I know that sounds awful, but actually when you're out, it's that freshness, the smell of the ivy flowers as well. It's that sweet, heady smell. And the splashing of the mallards over there. You've got the rake of the leaves underfoot and the bird song in the trees. You've got blackcap and robin and wren. And you've got occasional jay, and it's just a wonderful place to come and find a bit of quietude. It just enables you that little break in the daily grind where you tune into what's going on in the here and now. You're very much present and enjoying the atmosphere of the woodland and what it has to offer. Just that consciousness that's very much in the moment, and that's what it's about, really.
A stone's throw from Dorley Park is the Sligo Children's Community Garden, another haven for busy parents and carers needing to unplug or recharge.
I just think also it's so important for mothers in particular, and for with like postnatal depression, postnatal anxiety, and we're outside. And so there's not four walls and it's so welcoming. And if you want to just flop and drink a cup of tea, that's totally fine. And if you just need to dig, and that's what helps you in that moment. So I just think that's really important as well.
Now, over this series of Irish to Protect, we've been trying to include the voices of young people as they engage with sustainability and climate change. So at this stage, I handed over my interviewing duties to a young reporter who was interested in the ideas behind the Children's Community Garden.
I suppose we were looking as parents for an outdoor growing space to try and encourage kids to get mucky and to get more aware of going back to the basics of growing and learning about biodiversity and everything in nature around us, and to create a fun environment and a communal environment for both children and their carers and their grandparents and all generations to come together. So we have a very beautiful space in the Sligo Letts Organic Farm space, which was run by Jerry McAvoy for 30 years. And then we were taking our own children to groups at the Sligo Woodland School, which is in the same space.
When you say it's a children's community garden, so anyone can go there at any time they want and basically just hang out, plant some seeds, or...
The main time that the space is open is on a Monday morning for our carer and toddler group. So anyone can come along at that time, between 10:30 and 12 on a Monday. But basically we encourage carers and their children to come with us and to grow. So I suppose the space itself is a volunteer-led space. So we are all working and doing the best to keep the space going.
So we have a gardening group that happens once a month, and then we work with different artists, and we've worked with Kids Zone, and we run different workshops. So these things will be more sporadic. Mm-hmm. We have a mailing list and a website and social media and a WhatsApp group.
Yeah. And we do ask people to join up as members as well, because if we're running... Like we ran some lovely projects over the summer, and if we're running groups or activities, we'll put it out to our members first.
Like we have an upcoming planting workshop with Home Tree in November 26th for our new apple tree orchard. That's very exciting. Yes. So we're asking people to, our members, so if you want to sign up as a member, to come along on that day.
Of course, you don't have to look through the lens of a community group to enjoy the natural world. Although the weather might seem to be turning against us in these months, from Samhain onwards, a whole host of life is actually returning to us in the shape of migrant birds. For many in North Sligo, those flying V formations of almost 1,000 barnacle geese that return here from Greenland marks the turning of the season. But anyone can keep an eye across Sligo Bay, where over 12,000 birds have been recorded in winter. If you're confined to the garden, a bird survey from your window might help you to tune into the different kinds of birds that are out there. And if you're doing that, you might consider taking part in Birdwatch Ireland's Garden Bird Survey, which is starting on the 25th of November. This time of year also offers a chance for encounters with hibernating hedgehogs or bats as they do a bit of foraging in between sleeps. Most dramatically, you might be caught by the mesmerising and magical sight of a starling murmuration, with thousands of birds creating spellbinding shapes and patterns as they wheel and pivot their way towards a roost. You can check where murmurations have been spotted on Birdwatch Ireland's page, and there's also a Facebook site with updates of sightings called Starling Murmurations Ireland. In recent years, I've definitely noticed a trend among local groups and residents' associations to build on the good work that they're doing in maintaining and improving their areas to create pockets of biodiversity in their local spots. And biodiversity has been one of the focuses for CADRA this year. Jackie Maguire is a new member of that group, and she told me about their work in developing a biodiversity action plan to help them focus and plan their efforts in this area.
I would be fairly new to CADRA, joined about just over a year ago. And I suppose it was that thing of, you know, if I'm not going to do it, then who's going to do it? If not now, then when? You know, we decided to apply for a Community Biodiversity Action Plan for Carrow Rose so that we would be informed going forward as a community. And that has been like remarkable, really, because we've been able to employ an ecologist, Niamh Burke from Cushcame. She is our ecologist. And what's distinct about our application is that we're working with a farmer as well, which is Alex Hunter. He's in Carrow Rose as well. The school we've partnered with as well. So they're kind of the three key sites: the farmer's land, the main central area in Carrow Village, the public park space, the spaces within the school, and also the sites down by Loch Gill. So the site work has occurred, surveying over the summer. There's still a little bit more to do, and we will then have a finalised Community Biodiversity Action Plan, which will inform the steps that we take going forward. And I think that's key for communities, because you're trying to do stuff, you're trying to kind of research it independently. We're all volunteers, you're trying to apply for these things as well. So we will have a roadmap, and we're not going to have like 50 million strategies. We'll maybe have 8 for each site, like that we agree on in advance of it being published. You know, it's not being imposed on the group or on the farmer or on the school. It's like, this is what the ecologist is recommending. This is what we think is achievable. So we want to create the wild meadow, these also kind of pods in the interim that are kind of living shelters where children can come out and be in them, or parents or whoever it is, the community can sit in these pods. The brilliant thing about Power to Change and Yvonne Lang is that, like, Yvonne has really supported us with that. Mm-hmm. And she's also kind of opened it up to the County Council. So, you know, I don't know the people on the County Council. Pat, you do. But Yvonne is, you know, has helped navigate that in terms of the public park, so getting permission to do some of the things that we plan to do, and that's been really helpful. She's connected us in with the biodiversity officers and the climate action officers. It's the added value, you know. Anya as well from Sligo County Council, we worked with Anya last weekend to install not only 4 but 5 leaf compost units. So we are going to have a leaf party. You know, it is about making biodiversity a bit of crack and fun, you know. We'll have a leaf compost party, and we will begin to fill those units, and then we'll come back and in a year and look at them and see, are they turning to mulch? But again, those sites are within the Carrow Village, so we've got a key number of kind of actions that we're working towards.
Among all of this incredible activity, it's easy to underestimate the hard work and commitment of so many volunteers who are making things happen. Jackie pointed to the Biodiversity Action Plan as a tool in allowing them to prioritise what they want to do and to actually achieving those aims. And for many community groups, just getting through the basics is an ongoing challenge. So environment or sustainability as a focus can sometimes seem a step too far. Now, an environmental toolkit is available for any groups looking to thread some element of sustainability into their work, from simple changes to do with water or energy to large-scale projects. Each of our county councils also provide financial support through a specific community climate action fund. And that's a really brilliant option for any community or sports organisation that would like to do something either to minimise their own impact on the environment or to encourage more sustainable habits among their members. As it happens, there are three different levels of funding, so projects of all shapes and sizes can qualify. And there's a mind-boggling number of different kinds of initiatives that can be covered. Swap shops, repair hubs, water filling stations, renewable energy and retrofitting, bike stands or shelters, EV chargers, composting, roof gardens, orchards, mini forests, community gardens or food markets. And they're just some of the examples. There are different themes across the fund and you can check those out on sligocountycouncil.ie. Applications for the fund are opening in Sligo and Donegal this coming week and they'll be accepted up until the 22nd and 23rd of December. It was with the support of this fund that Sligo Children's Community Garden carried out the upgrade of their polytunnel. Now they're looking to expand their space in a very different way, with funding and advice from the Home Tree Charity and Power to Change, as well as Sligo County Council's Community Climate Action Fund. All was uncovered by our young reporter, Keola Burrows.
So there's a large area of brambles leading up to the woods and we're going to mulch it down. So we had a home tree day in May and so they advised us to mulch down the brambles and then we're going to plant 20 to 30 apple trees in the space. We have 15 or 20 already, but we're really looking to maybe getting in the full heritage collection of apples in the space, which would be magic. Home Tree are making sure that they're bringing the very best to us, which is amazing. So this is partly funded through the Climate Action Fund and Power to Change and Home Tree.
What's the aim of the project?
So the idea is that the kids have more space to run around and can pick apples from the trees, because at this time of year they're so abundant, but you walk into a shop and you're getting an apple from outside of Ireland, which is kind of crazy.
The brambles are not very delicious. And I only recently discovered that there's, 300 varieties of blackberries?
Yeah, so I always thought a blackberry was a blackberry and maybe there was a problem with the soil or something was happening, but you actually said it's different varieties. And so it is a habitat, but within our space there is loads of brambles. And, we're not taking out everything. So if you mulch down the brambles, it actually feeds the apple trees. They're like partners. But when they're not mulched down, they're not giving the goodness to the apple trees, I guess.
As the morning drew to a close, our architecture students from ATU Sligo were struck by seeing such a wide breadth of elements packed into this one very energetic space.
I thought it was really interesting learning about the challenges of all the community groups. I didn't realise that they kind of shared the same issues and it really is only two or three big issues that really could be solved quickly if we had the support.
The SDGs and Me project, that was primary school students being introduced to these ideas of sustainability through small activities, doing their own sketches, in their own words. It's wonderful to see these ideas, I suppose, in a microcosm. In our project, we were introducing them to the first years and into that kind of academic focus. But it's nice to see it being brought into the community, these ideas of sustainability as well.
Yeah, I kind of liked seeing what they did with the trees and showing of like the different types of trees around, because me myself, I don't know a lot about like all the nature aspects of stuff, so it's really good that like they're trying to involve other people with the little slide outs that show exactly what something is and how it and even you printed out like engraving it onto the actual trees itself, so you can really feel the texture and something and you really involved. I liked the whole aspect of involving the whole community as a whole together. Come together.
If you're already a member of a community organisation, I hope that maybe what you've heard today might inspire you to weave some element of sustainability into your activities. At the end of the day, all of this positivity and good work thrives on the energy and interest of people. Groups are always looking for new members, and they offer welcoming spaces in all shapes and sizes that can allow you to contribute in whatever way is possible for you.
There's been an incredible group of people involved for the past 15 years. So, and I think, you know, they would be saying we need to hand over. So we did a big kind of recruitment drive there this year, and we did have another kind of four or five people who joined. We would love to welcome in new members, and I think the group is so open. Like, community is about relationships, it's about people, but it's about fun as well. So the crack and the divilment, you know, bringing that in, we've loads of ideas, you know.
We want new ideas, we want new people, and if we can get the next generation to get involved, and it's their ideas we want to hear.
Like, at the community garden, we are a volunteer space. So we really are, you know, running on empty sometimes, and we have a lot of energy, but we would need more support, you know. So if people want to get involved or want to come and just even come along on a Monday and see what we're all about, because there usually is someone there on a Monday, or email us, you know, at sligochildrenscommunitygarden@gmail.com. The space is magic, and it's worth even coming just to have a look some morning and wander around yourself. Do you know, just let us know you're coming, and we'd love to get people more involved. We do have community garden days where we might need to get one particular thing done, and it would be lovely even if someone just came along to that day and let us know they were coming, and we can work together. And if people have ideas themselves, you know, we're always open to collaboration with people as well.
Or yeah, maybe if there was companies who wanted to do like a volunteer day,
yes,
and come help us out, that yes, would be really helpful. Team building exercises.
Yeah. And really rewarding, do you know what I mean? It is very rewarding.
You can do that through our website.
Yeah. We have a very beautiful website actually to go on, and you can see all the different projects we've done over the years. Sligo Children's Community Garden. It's really worth having a look on.
It's little wonder, after all that we've heard, that the Power to Change project provided such a boost to the work of these communities. The idea of the project was to look at ways to help groups along the road to sustainability. And the really great news is that by the end of the year, the free resources created are going to be available for anyone to use. Some, like the environmental toolkit and educational materials, are already online. But you can keep an eye on the Sligo PPN Power to Change page for more guides and resources in relation to community spaces, social marketing and SDG mapping, which are all on the way in the coming months. We touched on biodiversity quite a bit today. So as I'm signing off, I'll give a word to our Leitrim listeners in relation to the draft of the Leitrim Biodiversity Action Plan. It's going to cover the next 5 years, and it's up for consultation until the 10th of November. You can view it and make submissions on the Leitrim County Council website, and you can also give your feedback by post or email. And so I'm taking my leave from Ours to Protect for now. Thanks to all of you for your company over this series, and thanks to the contributors across all our programmes who filled our airwaves with their enthusiasm, expertise, advice and inspiration. A special mention goes out today to Yvonne Lang and the Power to Change programme, Jenny and Ruth of the Sligo Children's Community Garden, Pat and Jackie from CADRA, and Bláthain from Having a Laugh. I'm sure that you'll join me in wishing them and all of the hard-working community groups and volunteers in organisations across the Northwest all the very best in pushing ahead with their incredible efforts.